Our scripture reading for this morning will come from 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Do you appreciate being fully informed before you make a judgment call? Let's say, for instance, you're going to buy a piece of property or a house, a vehicle. Do you think you need a full assessment, full disclosure? How does it feel to be left out in the dark, perhaps even intentionally? We've not been left in the dark when it comes to God's will for us. As Peter begins this second letter, he wants us to understand the confidence that we can have, the spiritual confidence that we can have in God's Word. How we can stand firm on it because it has fully been disclosed through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Look again with me at verse 3. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Now let that soak in. That is a spiritual confidence builder. How much do we have of the will of God? Everything that pertains to life and godliness. There's no mystery left in what God requires of His children. I've written on the marquee, God's Word is quite literally an answer to prayers. As we begin this second letter of Peter, we're told by him in verse 14 that it's been revealed to him that he is soon to die. Verse 14, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. I think it's remarkable that Christ is allowing Peter to know that his demise is upcoming. But at the same time, it encourages Peter to write this letter. As we see, as we begin this introduction, the purpose behind what Peter is writing is focused upon this information that he's received from Christ that he is soon to die. Written shortly after, we believe, 1 Peter, in the early 60s, A.D., it is a time when Christians are being persecuted by the Roman Emperor Nero, who reigns over Rome from 54 to 68 A.D. Peter's intent is to leave behind that which is most important. You think about the knowledge that he has and even the current direct communication that he has with Jesus. As he anticipates now his death, he says, I wanted to write this letter so that you, as fellow Christians, might have the opportunity to reference it, to refer back to it. So let's look at a few verses that talk about this in the idea of being able to remind them even after his death. First, verse 12, 2 Peter chapter 1. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them. and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. Then in verse 15 again, and I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. Then drop down with me to verse 19. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. This is a message that Peter doesn't want lost. As the decades and centuries roll by, Peter wants to make certain that those who believe in Christ Jesus can reference what he has been given by God and have confidence, spiritual confidence, in the things that they have received. He doesn't want anyone left in the dark. Think again, God's word is quite literally an answer to prayers. Then with this same thought, go with me to chapter 3, and we'll see, remind and remember, in the first two verses. This is the third chapter of 2 Peter. This is now, beloved, the second letter I am writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Now, what I'm trying to do is to set the stage for the importance of this letter for Christians in the ages to come. What was it he said in verse 3? His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Do you hear that? Peter is confident that everything that we need is now given to us through the Word of God. Quite literally, it's the mind of God revealed. He wants us to be reminded of it as we study this letter now in the course of the several weeks. I promise not years, but over the course of several weeks, that we would do well to call to mind and to pay attention to what's written here. Turn with me to hymn number 741. 741.
Do me, Holy Bible Book Divine, precious treasure thou art mine, mine to tell me whence I came, mine to teach me which I am, mine to chide me when I rove, mine to show a Savior's love, mine thou art to guide and guard, mine to punish or reward, mine to comfort in distress, suffering in this wilderness, mine to show by living faith, man can triumph over death, mine to tell of joys to come, and the rebel sinner's doom. O thou holy book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine.
Mine to correct, even to tell of the rebel's doom. And we're going to get solidly into that when we get to chapter 2, talking about the false teachers. As Peter begins this letter, now going back to verse 1, he describes himself not simply as Peter, but as Simon. And in the Greek, the word there is Simeon. And some theorize that that's on purpose, that Peter is referencing himself as Simeon, because in this verse he alludes to the fact that there are those who have received a faith like ours. Now, is he talking about Christians being like apostles in the sense that we know what the apostles know? Could be. And it could be a dual purpose meaning there. But some theorize that what he is actually referencing by using the word or his name Simeon, he's referencing the Gentiles who have come into Christ, who share a like faith. The reason for that is because in Acts chapter 15, as the Jerusalem conference is going on, and this is the situation where those who are in the field, like Peter and Paul, are defending the fact that they've gone to the Gentiles before the church leaders in Jerusalem. And we're going to begin with verse 13 of chapter 15. James, in talking about Peter, says this, starting with verse 13. After they had stopped speaking, James answered, saying, "Brethren, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first concerned himself about taking from among the Gentiles a people for his name. With this, the words of the prophets agree." Now, we're going to continue to read his argument in just a minute. But this allusion to Peter as Simeon might be what Peter is hoping his readers will reference back to in chapter 1 of Peter, the first verse, who have been called in a like faith. Because as James continues, he says, what is now happening amongst the Gentiles is a part of God's plan all along. Again, verse 15, "With this the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, after these things I will return, and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David which has fallen, and I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from long ago." Now, James is quoting from Amos chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. But in this rebuilding of the kingdom of David, the reestablishment of the people of God, it's not limited to the Jews, and it's not a physical kingdom. No. And all the Gentiles who are called by name, by my name. Remember, I have said that God's word is quite literally an answer to prayers. Do you remember how many prophets of old used to ask God, "What does that mean? Please inform me." And God said, "It's not for you to know," repeatedly. Well, now we know. And James and Peter and Paul are all making that clear, that to the Gentiles as well. What was it God had said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3? "And through you all families of the earth will be blessed. Someone will come through your seed which will bless all families." We know that the Jewish nation arises out of Abraham's seed. But God has prophesied even from the garden that through the seed of man, through Eve's seed, there in the garden promise of actually a curse to the devil, there will come one from the seed of man whose heel you will bruise, but he will crush your head. What Peter then is referencing for us now in the second letter, chapter 1, first verse, is that God has fulfilled that, and now the Gentiles share in a like faith with the Jewish people, certainly as being the people of God, even with the apostles. What is it Peter is saying? I want to remind you of the things that I know so that when I'm gone, you can call them to mind. You can remember them. So back again to verse 1, 2 Peter 1. Simon Peter, or Simeon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. What's Peter doing? He is putting the Gentile brethren on equal footing with those who were the Jews, even with the apostles, saying, you have the same kind of faith that we have. Now, that word for same kind in the Greek is isotimos. Iso meaning same, timos meaning honor. You have been elevated to a regal standing in your faith because you know what we know. Left in the dark? Not hardly. Having received what the apostles received, regardless of my DNA, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, God has granted to us through this precious word everything that pertains to life and godliness. You've got it all. Nothing held back. No updates needed. Listen to this verse from the Apostle Paul and how similar its theme is. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 6. And I'm only going to read through verse 10, though you could continue reading if you want to, because it's still carrying the same theme. But starting with 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Yet we do not speak wisdom among those who are mature. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom. In a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age had understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. For to us, listen closely, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. God's wisdom revealed through the Spirit. What a wonderful confidence Peter and Paul both express in the message that they have received. And Peter is saying clearly as he writes this final letter, I want you to be able to recall the things that have been imparted. And I want you, as you pay attention to those things, to have confidence that you can stand firm, that you have the complete will of God. Isn't God good? God has blessed us with His expectations and stipulations. His word is divinely granted. Let's turn to hymn number 769. 769.
And oh, so holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us cope. In this world, where'er we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Holy words of our faith, handed down to this age, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Ancient words. Holy words, changing me and changing you. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. You hear the confidence of the apostles? We've got what is necessary to be armed against Satan. By his own glory and excellence, by his righteousness, God has revealed that which will enable us to partake of the divine nature. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. God has enabled his children to look like him. Do you look like your father? God has called us to be his bride. The church is the bride of Christ. Are we full of grace and peace in our relationship with the Heavenly Father? So as Peter's life draws to a close, he's confident in his Lord's love and oversight. The message of truth is for all the families of the earth, so that they might be reconciled through Christ's blood to their Heavenly Father. It certainly appears that rather than fearing his own departure from this world, he looks forward to finishing the course that was set before him, confident in his faith and desirous that God's children understand what a blessing they have received by having God's Word in their possession. God's Word is quite literally an answer to prayers. God had promised it 4,000 years before the cross. What the apostles are telling us, and at this time, after having Christ upon the earth, him being crucified, resurrected, and ascending into heaven, the Holy Spirit descending upon the heads of the apostles on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and now continuing during their lifespan, as Peter has revealed, Jesus has told him that his own death is imminent, having continued to inform them and reveal the will of God, they say to us with confidence, look again at verse 3 in closing, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. He's not left his children in the dark. The question is why we have such a hard time accepting and coming to the light, the revelation that God has granted to his people. As James references Amos, he said that it is now come. We see things that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard. It hasn't even entered into the hearts of man. Man could not have come up with such a plan. What's sad is too often, as we get into chapter 2 later on in this study, man tries to, quote, improve upon the message of God by later revelations or by taking what God has said and turning them a different direction or even denying the truth of what's revealed. That's happening today. It's happened in every age. It seems to be very evident in our generation. Have confidence that his word provides everything that pertains to life and godliness. Divine, full disclosure.